Yeraftu Simin Shin Pei He. Seif Beis. It's on page 508. 508. Kusi Harehu Kishor Akum. So we learned yesterday about the Tzduki. The Tzduki, according to the Mechaber, was somewhere in the middle. He was in a state of flux. On the one hand, he cannot participate in the air because he does not believe in the air. It's Stokin. And the Baitosim, they do not believe in Torah Shebal Peh, so they may not participate in anything that's Torah Shebal Peh. But they were still called Jews to the degree where they can do bittul relinquishment of Rishos. And you do not need to do with them schiris. We discussed yesterday the major nafkamina. If you can do bittul, and you do not, we're not required to do schiris back and save an erev. Because it's important to remember, when you one must do schiris, when you do these modern day metropolitan eruvim in these communities, the first thing that's done is schiris. If you don't do, then you do the Eruvei Chatzeros. I mean, first you build walls. That's the expensive part. The expensive part is creating halachic walls. You have to have a wall around the entire city. You have to have telephone poles and so on and so forth. That's the hard part. After you have four walls enclosing your environment, your society, then comes Chirus. You deal with the non-Jews first. You have to go to the town official, to the mayor, to some city official. Lean in there. Hopefully, I have a book. I have a very good book that discusses all these modern laws. I have to read up on it. Hopefully, we get to the end. We're coming to the end pretty soon. If we get to the end, we'll spend some time going over some practical. And now that we have the background, some of the practical techniques that are done in making modern day eruvin. But first comes schirus, and then we do the Eruvei Chatzeros. What happens if we do the Eruvei Chatzeros and we have a problem? So if the problem requires us to do Schirus, we're in a lot of trouble. There's no solution. Because once we need to do Schirus, the Eruv is bottle. And you have to start all over again and renew the Eruv, make a new bracha, collect new bread, and so on and so forth. But if we can do bittul, one of the people who did not participate can relinquish their rishus, then we're still all in business. A goy, a non-Jew, cannot participate in bittul. No such thing. A non-Jew can participate though, so that was what we learned yesterday. What about a tzedoki? Someone that does not believe in Torah Sheh Baal Peh. What status does he have? So we learned he is in the middle. He cannot participate in the air, but he can do bittul, and we do not do schirus, and that had the major nafkamina, where if it was not included, it's not going to be a cause of completely destroying the previous eruv. We then learned, though, in the Mishnah Berurah, that many opinions disagree with, not many, but there are opinions that disagree with the Mechaber, what we learned in the Shulchan Aruch, and hold that a tzedoki is a full-fledged goy. And if a tzedoki has the status of full-fledged goy, he will automatically ruin your eruv. You'll have to start all over again. First rent rishus from the tzedoki, and then renew, create a new eruv. Now we go to a new person. And this is simpler. What about a kusi? Base kusi. What is a kusi? By the way, let's just have some background. In the time of the Gemara, the kusim were people that were relocated by Melech Asher in ancient times. The way people were sent into exile, the way a conquering melech would show that he is in control is he would relocate populations. If you conquered a nation, he wouldn't kill them. What is he going to get out of killing them? He would kill all of those that were a threat. But most of the time, after he'd take away their weapons, people in ancient times weren't necessarily a threat to Adarabba. They were a source of income. They would be productive. They would engage in commerce, and they would become wealthy, and they would give large taxes to the king. So it wasn't necessarily in the interest of the king to completely wipe out a country. Sometimes they did, just out of brutality and out of nonsense. But many times they would. The one who invented this idea was Asher. He would take a nation and would relocate them to a different part of the world, and in doing so, that would humble them. They would feel lost in their new land, and they would not have the chutzpah to rebel against the one that was in charge. So who, after the Bnei Yisrael was conquered by Ashur, but was during the time of the Bayis Sheni, who was put in the land when Melech Ashur conquered the Aseres Hashvatim, who was put in the land of Eretz Yisrael? The Kusim. This nation of Kuta, they were also conquered and they were relocated. The Jewish people were brought down to Babel and they were put in, people from Kuta were put in Eretz Yisrael. People of Kuta, they did not behave themselves. They were continuing to worship idols and do things which were not proper. And being that Eretz Yisrael is a holy land and did not tolerate sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about that lions came out of the forest and began to attack and consume the population of the Kutim that were relocated in Eretz Yisrael. The Kutim realized that something is wrong, they're being devoured by lions, and they inquired, I think among Daniel, I'm not exactly in the details, they inquired why is this happening to them, and they were told it's because you're living in a holy land and you cannot conduct yourself, live in sin. So they decided they're going to convert to Yahdus. They're going to convert to Judaism. They're going to follow the law of the land. There's a question in the Gemara, two different opinions of the Gemara, if their conversion was a sincere conversion. Are they Geri Emes? Their conversion was sincere, and they're full-fledged Jews. Or with Geri Arroyos? The only reason why they converted was because of the lions. It was an insincere conversion, and they did not have the status of Jews. Now, even the opinion that says that it was originally Geirei Emes, it was a sincere conversion, over a period, a long period of time, they reverted back to their old ways. They became non-believers and they began to sin, and because they were so bad, they were so terrible, and they completely abandoned anything that they accepted upon themselves, even if it was true that at one point in time they were Jews, their gerus was considered a good gerus, but being that they conducted themselves now as complete idolaters, the Rabbanon put upon them, gave them the status of non-Jews. They gave them the rabbinic status of non-Jews. But yet, according to one opinion, they really are Jews. But they are so far gone, they are like non-Jews. So that's the question over here, according to the Gemara, according to Shulchan Aruch, Kusi Arei Kishor Akum. Kusim, this follows general rule, have the status of complete non-Jews, ve'emli takana ela b'schirus, and therefore even though the Kusi is much worse than its Stokim. Stokim were Jews. No, they were the real deal with Stokim. It's just that they went off the derech. They decided they're not going to accept anymore, observe the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Kusim, they're worse. They started out as Goyim. That's, everyone agrees they were non-Jews. They converted. There's a question, was it a sincere conversion? Let's assume it was. But it didn't last very long. And being that it did not last very long, they were worse than the Tzedokim because they don't even observe the Torah Shebichsav. Of course they don't observe the Torah Shebichsav. They don't observe the Torah Shebichsav. And therefore they have the status of full-fledged non-Jews according to all opinions. And if they are in the courtyard, you have no choice other than to do with them Schiras Rishus. Kusere Kusharakum Ve'engle Takon Ela Bischirus. Gimel. Okay, Gimel next. Simen. Gimel, Sif Gimel, Yisrael Mumar Lavos Elim. Now we come to some very touchy inyanim. What about a Yisrael? Mumar Leavoidas Elilim O Lechalul Shabbosos Befar Hesia. I'm going through the Mishnah, it's very interesting. A lot of these things are Nogeh Halach Lamais of many other inyanim. Yain Nesach, if they commonly touch wine. Can they be trusted for certain things? But Yisrael Mumar, you have here a Jew. And he worships idols, or he's mechalel Shabbos b'farhesi in public. We'll see what that means in a moment. Afilu ena mechalel ela b'isur d'rabbanan. Even the only thing that he does in Shabbos is isur d'rabbanan. He's not mechalel Shabbos on a din d'ra. Anything which is d'raisa, he will not do in public. But he only does in public things which are also only mid'rabbanan. Harehu ke'akum does not matter. He is the status of a non-Jew, and we must rent his rishus. Bittul rishus will not help. Let's say he comes to shul and as far as you can tell from the outside in public he is observant, but you know for a fact that in behind closed doors he is not observant. It's okay. Incredible halacha.
He parks around the corner.
What?
He parks around the corner.
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much. I mean, even though. I mean, what do you call b'far hesim? B'far hesim. Pretty much, yeah. Harehu ki yishol is a mevatel rishus. He is a yishol, and therefore can mevatel rishus. If he has enough shame not to park in front of the shul, it's not bad. That's already says something. Let's see the mishnah inside. Gimel. Mumor la'avodas kilulim. I feel a bit tzina. Person then here's the chum. When it comes to avodah zara, even if we know that he only worships idols in private, he'll never bow down to an idol in public. Only in private, it doesn't matter. That's serious business. He's out. He's a guy. The avoyim zechomer kemoi ovi akum. Being mechalal Shabbos. This is a gemara. This is not so simple. This is not explicit in the gemara. The gemara talks about all different types of aveiros. This is a chiddush that Shabbos is equivalent to everything else. The avoyim zechomer kemoi ovi akum. That's what you used to see. Shema Shabbos. Where does the expression come from? The Shema Shabbos. What do you mean the Shema Shabbos? And what about everything else? Shabbos is just one of the Tayag mitzvahs. What happened to all the other 612 mitzvahs? Because Shabbos says it all. Even if he does everything else wrong, he observes Shabbos. It's an incredible idea. That's already puts him over the top.
For the entire Torah.
Okay, then on the side of the Dirshu, he points out, it's a very famous sefer on Shchita, that is, I don't know where this comes from. There are three mitzvahs. The three mitzvahs are shatnez, hakofas harosh, and nevela. Eating non-kosher. Yes, let's say he observes Shabbos. He's a good guy. He comes to shul every Shabbos. He's very nizer in the laws of Shabbos. But he goes to the non-kosher restaurants, and he has those haircuts where he cuts off the peyos harosh, shaves the peyos harosh, and he wears shatnez. Why these three more than anything else, I do not know. There must be something to these three mitzvahs. That already changes his status into a guy. Oh, but he observes Shabbos. It's a fascinating...
These things are mitzvahs that we don't even have reasons for.
Okay. But why these three? There are many chukos. There are many mitzvahs. Okay, I'm not sure. This is a chiddush of the Prima Gadim Hashem Simcha Chadasha. Okay, but going back to the Mishnah Berurah, v'dafka b'sharagil b'avin zeh, that's only where he is ragil. The only time that the person mechalal says only what he does it every single day. He does it all the time. But another leniency, you have another very important leniency. Aval imchil Shabbos b'chad zimla b'farhesi l'megi mumar. One time is not. So even those that are mechalal Shabbos, these wishy-washy people, they can't decide. They can't do something and observe Shabbos. He's not a kavua mechal Shabbos. He's going through different kufas in his life. Then you don't necessarily have to do schiras. The yeshayim, some say no. They feel b'chad zimlam. They can mum even one time it's mumar. Now what is called for hesya? Excuse me. Okay, for hesya, what is called for hesya? Mikri kishachilul b'fnei asora miyisrael. He does in front of 10 people. Or he does it even privately, but he knows that word will get out. That's only where he does because he just needs. He has a need to work on shops and need to do these things. But a person that is a mumar lahachas in spite, out of hatred, in spite. Then I feel Shaveris, even any Avera, he lahachas will not do automatically as the status of a guy, even though he observes Shabbos. Ulinyin Shore Dvardim, Yeshna Khorim Shoisum Shain Khoshab Kumumba Ali Khil Shabbos Pisa Durabanan. That when some learn that when it comes to that if he violates a Durabanan, some learn, not like what we learned in the Mechaber, he disagrees with the Mechaber. That is not called a mumur. Al yidei chil Shabbos beisur the rabban. I'm yardeis in base bepisrei tshuva with base meir besimzev sevugon Yaakov. Okay, so these are different ideas. There are different ideas. Nice place to study if you want to go into the scene is to go study this halacha.
when it comes to see, where would you wouldn't expect to find it over here, all of these dinim over here, because they're dealing with us, he was Rosh Hashanah, Magai. The main halachas are in Yeridaya, but here is a nice marmokum to delve into the scene in more detail. Okay, let's go back to Vav, the Mishnah Berurah Vav, Elabit Sima. Here's another very big chiddush. Let's say he's mechal Shabbos b'farhesia, but it's only among, you know, only among Hamish people. But when a celebrity comes to town, a big Rav, you know, someone he knows from the Haim comes to town, then already he behaves differently. That already shows a sensitivity. It's very interesting. So many different dargas. The goal, obviously, is does he have that spark in him?
Pentaliyid.
Somewhere. Everyone has the pentaliyid in him. But the question is it visible? So if you can somehow find that spark within him, even if he's among his friends, he's Mechal Shabbos or Fahesi, but if someone special comes to town, Choshen Rav, comes to town, he's embarrassed on that day, in front of that, the presence will behave himself, that already is already different. It's like when you said, a person who drives, he parks the car a few blocks away from the shul, for sure qualifies as the person that's not mechal Shabbos b'farhes. Even though he's driving around, and people are seeing him driving around, everyone knows he drives around, but atkdekach, park in front of the shul, that already doesn't do. I davened somewhere, and this past year, I went out of town, I was out of town for Rosh Hashanah. I davened in a shul where a lot of people, they were not, they only come to shul in Rosh Hashanah. Some of them. And I don't know what to do. So after davening, right in front of the shul, the guy was like, he wanted to talk to me, and his wife got in the car, and he had the engine on, and he was talking to me. Right in front of the shul on Yom Kippur. wasn't embarrassed to park in front of the shul. Alright. Gamzel Litzini Yechashev. Okay, Dalit. It's not, it's obviously the person is a Tinik Shnishva. It's a mile that even that he came to shul. It's a nice thing he came to shul, this person on Yom Kippur. Dalit. Only once a year. Dalit, Yisrael Shehemer, now we come to a new situation, we run this very quickly, Yisrael Shehemer, a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, that converts. V'hoyilo batir b'shchunas Yisrael she'ervu l'chol hashana im ein loy pesach acher klal hu oyser b'chol shabbos shechal yachar Shehemer. We have a Jew, and the Jew was a nice, friendly Jew living in the community, living in the courtyard, and he participated in the Erev, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the week, we got word that he converted. He converted to another religion. He's like a full-fledged guy now. So what do we do? So mikanul haba, he is a guy, and the air that he participated in is no longer valid. And from the Kaimalba, for the following Shabbos, we have to do from him schirus. And what's the rule? If we have to do from him schirus, that means the air of his bottle. And we have to make a new air of. So he's causing a lot of trouble, this Jew, for the community, by converting on Shabbos. By converting. You have a Jew, and the Jew, his house opens to the courtyard. But this Jew, or this non-Jew, has a back door that opens to a different courtyard. And he has not participated in the Erev, or he has not, we have not rented his Rishos, he's not a problem. The only time a Jew or a non-Jew is a problem is when their only exit, their only escape is in this courtyard. If this person, the only way out of his home is to come into this courtyard, we must deal with him. We must rent his Rishos, or he must participate in the Erev. But if this individual has another route, he can get out to the street by going through a back exit, then in lechatchila we should do tzchias reshus, lechatchila we should do an erev. But when we find ourselves in a difficult situation where we have already made an erev and now suddenly he converts and he's going to be a problem, we can say that we push him out since he has an alternative escape from this, from his home to the reshus harabim. He's not part of our community, out of our courtyard, and he will not pose a problem. We had that halacha many times. Okay, now we begin very quickly. So we begin the shita. Now we pretty much finished the courtyard. Now we just now we uh
we extend the laws of Erev to the Mavri. We'll just begin a little bit. Ashru Chachamim L'taltol Min HaChatzeros to Mavri. V'yitiruhu Al Yidei Shita. So far, let's review the basic law. We have here the ancient Mesach Ervin, Mavos, the courtyards, and the alleyways. A Mavri is an alleyway. Chatzer is a courtyard. We all know what it looks like. The homes open up into a courtyard, and there are multiple courtyards, and all of the courtyards open up into the central alleyway. The courtyard must have four walls, no leniencies, because the courtyard is considered the ikar dira. You do private matters in the courtyard. You leave your home, you wash your clothing, you're not fully dressed the way you would appear in the street. You do private matters in the courtyard, even though the courtyard is shared by other homes. It doesn't matter, it's still private. There are no leniencies in the courtyard. The courtyard requires four real halachic walls. If you want to carry in the courtyard, all the bottom, you must contribute towards an eruvei chatzeros. Everyone who contributes bread. Now, what happens if all of the courtyards want to carry into the alleyway? The central alleyway. So the central alleyway, it's a more public area. And then being it's more public, Chazal would lean, you don't necessarily need four halachic walls. It's enough to have three halachic walls, and the fourth wall will be rectified with a very little tikkun of a lechi or a kara, which we spend many weeks discussing the details of how to construct, to rectify the fourth wall of the alleyway. But just like we require an eruvei chatzeros for the courtyards, we require another type of joint, symbolic eruv for the mavui, and that's called shitufei levos. That's separate. Mikra didn't say. We're going through that. We can't combine them together. But that's a separate thing. In addition to the eruv, each courtyard had made their own eruv. Now we take bread from everyone from a representative of every single courtyard, and we collect it to make what's called a shitufei, a partnership of all of the courtyards in order to carry in the mavui. So let's see. Asher chavat ha'atel min ha'chatzeros l'mavui. You're not carrying the courtyard to the mavui, to the central alleyway. V'tiru al-yidei shituf. What is shituf? So here the mechaber says something that's very interesting, because it's now in the Gemara. The Gemara says shituf was done with wine. The eruvei chatzeros was done with bread. And the shituf was done by collecting wine, a barrel of wine. Here the mechaber says shegoven pas. We collect bread is also valid. O dover acher. If you don't want to use bread, you can use wine, you can use anything for that matter. Mimineach, but it must be something that is edible. Mikol chotzer v'chotzer. V'noistimos, so where do you store it? V'noistimos so be'echo min achatzeros. So just like the Eruv, where is the Eruv v'chatzeros stored? We learn it must be in someone's home. The Eruv, when you join all of the homes in the courtyard, they are all, it's critical that the Eruv be stored in one of the homes. You don't store the Eruv in the courtyard. But the Shitufei Mavos you can store in one of the courtyards. The Echad Min HaChatzeros. The other one we look at it, Ki'ilu Kol HaMavui La'ois, the other one we look at it, Ki'ilu Pasuach Kol HaMavui La'ois, look at it as if the entire, Ki'ilu Pasuach Kol HaMavui La'ois Chatzer, that becomes the primary courtyard. And that's the primary courtyard. Everyone's like one big happy family living in that one courtyard. Everyone is considered to be joined together. Now everyone is allowed to carry together into the courtyard. And because it's only reason why we do this in order to join together the courtyards, you can put it in the airspace of the courtyard. You don't need to put it in the bayis. Or the bayis, if you want, you can put it even in the bayis that does not have the dimensions of a bayis, shein by arba al arba. The ain tzrichim litna b'bayis, you do not need to put it in the home, brak shayyeh b'makim b'mishtam, the only thing that's important is a place that's guarded, a place that the birds are not going to take it away. Hilkach ein noist mosa b'avir ha'mavui, don't put it in the mavui, because that's not a safe place. Put it in the place where it is guarded. Okay, let me see if we have any important mishnah over here to read, and then we're finished. Okay, let's do the Mishnah Berurah Beis. Mishnah Berurah Beis, v'tiru agdei ashidov, k'shekashem, sheru v'chatzero is ma'arev, kol bodei ha'chatzer yachad, chulel reish tzim v'shin samavav, kach, sheitufei mevos, m'shadev kol ha'chatzer amavu yachad, v'nasim k'chatzer yachad. Everyone becomes one court. The goal is of the ashidov is to make everyone to one single courtyard. Shegoi v'en gimel, shegoi v'en pasu d'av reachar, v'af l'in e'er v'chatzero is b'in dafka pas. When it comes to the Erev Chatzeros, you only can collect bread. But Shani Hasan, the Erev Mishum Diru, who because when the Erev is Diru, when you make an Erev Chatzeros, you're making a dwelling place. When it comes to Erev Chatzeros, everyone wants to be living in one bais. And a Diru is defined by bread. Now that's the same reason. Very important principle. The Mishnah Berurah is telling us a very important insight that the purpose of the Erev is everyone is one bais, everyone is one family living in one location. That's not what you're doing with the Shituf. The Shituf, you're joining together the Rishus. You're not living in the courtyard. You just, all of the courtyards are considered a single courtyard. But a courtyard is not a place where you actually live. And therefore you don't need bread. Bread is an object which refers, defines a person's actual living, nothing, living. Okay, that part we don't need. Okay, fine, that's simple. So we'll stop over here. We're up to Sif base.